good morning, everybody. How's it going? Good. My name is Alec. I'm the high school pastor here at Champion Forest, and I'm excited to be able to preach the word and open up the word of God together and worship with you together this morning. We know that everybody's going through something, right? We all have stuff in our lives. Things happen in our lives that cause real pain, right? That cause real grief, that cause real sorrow. And maybe right this second, right? Maybe here, as you're here, this stage of life, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, maybe life's pretty good. And if it is, that is incredible. Praise God that life is good right now. But if you are alive long enough, if you are on this earth long enough, there are going to be things that happen in your life that cause grief and sorrow and sadness and suffering. And maybe right now, sitting here, you are in the midst of a difficult time. Maybe you are going through something that is causing sorrow and you don't know what to do or how to get through whatever is going on. And that's why we're doing this series. You saw the intro video, because we know that everybody is at some point in their life going to go through difficult times. Everybody's going to go through pain and suffering. We know that God is at work in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. And we know that we can get through whatever we're going through together. So what are we talking about here? What is sorrow? What comes to your mind when you think of the word sorrow? And here's how our friend Merriam-Webster defines it. Does anybody use a real dictionary anymore? You just look it up on your phone. Oh, wow, some real dictionaries. That's amazing. So our friend Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, you just look it up on your phone, says sorrow is this: deep distress, sadness, or regret, especially for the loss of someone or something loved. So deep distress, sadness, or regret, especially for the loss of someone or something loved. And this concept of sorrow or grief, they're really, really close. They're really related. Like biblically, they're nearly the same word, sorrow and grief. So they're synonymous for us this morning as we talk about sorrow and about grief and about going through sad and difficult times in our lives. You know, there's sorrow found all throughout the Bible, all throughout Scripture. There's people that experience deep sadness and sorrow. You know Jeremiah the prophet? Do you know his nickname? The weeping prophet, right? The people call him the weeping prophet because he had so much pain and suffering that he went through. We see King David all throughout the Psalms and in his life crying out in despair for all the things that he was going through in his life. We see Hannah, who is distressed and tortured because she couldn't bear children. We see Elijah the prophet, who was lonely and depressed throughout his ministry. We see Mary Magdalene in the New Testament weeping outside of the tomb of Jesus. And we see Paul, who was sorrowful, yet he said he was always rejoicing. And we know that all kinds of people, whoever you are and whatever you're going through, all kinds of people grieve and have sorrow for all kinds of reasons. We know that grief is not limited to death, right? And different people grieve differently, and that's okay, right? It is appropriate to grieve, and grief does not equal weakness. Does that make sense? Today in our culture, it's not really like okay for men to cry. You know, have you heard that? Like real men don't cry, that kind of thing. But that's actually that's not necessarily true, because whatever we're going through, whenever we experience loss or pain or hardship, right, it is okay to experience sadness, to have that feeling of grief, and we need to process it. And different people process and grieve differently, and grief does not equal weakness. You know what I'm saying? Grief does not equal weakness. And if you think that grief equals weakness, then you're calling Jesus weak. And I don't think you want to do that. We all know our favorite our favorite memory verse, John 11:35. Does anybody know it off the top of your head? Jesus wept. If you've never memorized a Bible verse, you just did, okay? John 11:35 says Jesus wept. And so we know from our favorite Bible memory verse that it is okay to experience grief and sadness. Jesus wept himself after his friend Lazarus died. So this word and this type of sorrow, stay with me here, this type of sorrow and despair, right, when we go through grief or sorrow, it's like we're carrying a certain kind of weight. It's like carrying a weight on our shoulders when we go through difficult times, whenever we feel sad or depressed or we're going through sorrow and grief. It's like carrying a certain kind of weight. In Psalm 119, verse 28, the Bible says, "My soul melts away for sorrow." Or there's other translations that say things like, I'm weary from grief, or my soul is weary with sorrow. There's this idea of you feeling weighed down because of what you're going through. And this is the kind of feeling like something is dragging you down, right? It's like your heart and your soul is like chained or tied up to a semi-truck or something. I mean, it's something weighing you down. You look fine on the outside, but on the inside there's a weight and you're not sure how you can get through what you're going through. You're heavy and you're hurting. That's that kind of grief and despair and sorrow that we're talking about. Can anybody relate to what the psalmist is saying here? Have you ever felt like you have a heaviness that you just can't get rid of? Right? That's from God's word. What we just read, Psalm 119, that's from God's word. That's a real human going through real pain, real suffering, but yet inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down and have it in our Bible so we can relate to what's going on, because we know that this is God's word, right? He inspired it, but used human authors. This was a real person going through real pain, real suffering, and yet inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we know we can experience and learn something about ourselves as humans and our own human condition through what the Bible says, right? God's word reveals who he is, but it also tells us about who we are, and we know that there is brokenness and there is sin in the world because of what humans have done, right? We know that we experience grief and pain and sorrow because there is sin and there's brokenness in the world. And you know that as humans, we are broken. We all go through these difficult things because of sin, and the sin that we see, right, leads us to whatever we're going through, right? It leads to our soul feeling weary and weighed down. That is a result of sin. My heart is heavy, and I don't know if I can get through what I'm going through. That's what we're talking about this morning, a feeling of sorrow and grief. And whether you're going through it right now or you know somebody that is, we all need to be equipped to help people and walk people go through what they're going through. So the question is, how do we do it? Right? How do we get through the difficult times and the things that we're going through, right? Maybe you've just lost somebody close to you, right? Or maybe you've lost something close to you, maybe as a result of the flood, or maybe you have a sickness or a physical ailment that is bringing you down, not only physically but emotionally. Or maybe you're going through some family issues, right? Maybe your parents are going through a divorce, or you haven't seen your mom and dad in a long time, or there's trouble between your brother and your sister. I don't know what's going on in your family or in your life. I'm not sure what's going on, but we can all relate to one another in that we're all going through something, or we will be going through something soon or at some point in time. My little sister Abby is here from Oklahoma. She's in seventh grade, and one of her best friends, they just moved away. They moved actually to Houston, and so they've been separated for a while, and that was really tough for her to go through. Right, that was really difficult for her to be separated from such a close friend. That caused real pain and real hurt and real sorrow. And it was difficult to lose her, right, Abs? It was hard to do, but we know that things happen in life, right? There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. It says this. It says, "Man does not know his time. Man is snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." So stuff happens. Things that may seem random and pointless and stupid to us, they happen. That's what he's saying here. A snare is like a trap. You know what I mean? So you're just walking along. You're living your life. You're just doing what you do. You're going to school. You're going home. You're doing homework. All this stuff, and then all of a sudden, something happens. A trap gets you. It seems pointless. It seems random. It seems stupid. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but it's the reality that stuff happens that are difficult to go through. They're hard for us to get through. They cause pain and suffering. And I wish I could stand up here right now and just give you seven ways to get over your sadness. Like, I wish I could stand up here and then, you know, and if you're not going through something, I wish I could give you, you know, 36 ways to help your friend get over what they're going through. But the reality is that only works, like, on BuzzFeed and the internet and Facebook, right? Ask your parents about Facebook. I can't stand, that's not real life. Real life is not just seven ways to get over your sadness. That's just not reality. That's not reality. I can't stand up here and do that, but right, I can tell you that we don't necessarily get over what we're going through, but we can get through it. You see the difference? We don't necessarily have to get over what we're going through, but we can get through what we're going through, right? There's a big difference between telling somebody to get over it. Just get up, get over it. And the difference between telling somebody, let's get through this together. Right? The difference between telling somebody, just get over it, and the difference between saying, let's get through this together is huge. And that's a big point that I want to make, and it's this, that we're not going through this alone. Right? Paul mentioned it earlier during the prayer time, that the Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation, right? I heard this in one of my classes the other day. He said, you can't be a follower of Jesus alone any more than you can get married alone. Does that make sense? Like you can't be a follower of Jesus. You can't be a disciple. You can't be a Christian by yourself any more than you could get married by yourself. It just doesn't work like that. It's definitionally incorrect to say that you can be a Christian by yourself, right? It's completely foreign to the New Testament. Like, when the authors of the New Testament, Paul in particular, write his letters, like, you know, to the Galatians or the Colossians, like all those things, he writes in there, maybe you've never noticed it, but he always addresses them, the churches, as brothers and sisters. Like, probably when you read your Bible, and if you've ever heard that, you're like, yeah, okay, you kind of skip over that. But that's huge, right? For Paul, right, to be addressing these churches as brothers and sisters means there's a closeness there. There's a sense of family within the church, right? This isn't just a random group of people. This is a family. And in this culture, right, in the Mediterranean culture in the first century, the family was the most important unit. Right, your family took precedence over your individual self. You cared about the needs of your family above the needs of yourself. Right, and so what Paul is saying here is that the church then becomes your family, and the needs of the body of believers becomes more important than your own needs. Right? This is huge for us to understand when we read our Bibles and important for us today. Right? As we talk about getting through what we're going through together, we have to do it together. Right? As a family, and in here today, if you're a part of this church, then we're a family. Right? Like it or not, right, we're a family, albeit maybe a dysfunctional one, with our fair share of crazy uncles, right? Uncle Ray? No, I'm kidding. If you don't know Uncle Ray, you will when you get up into high school. He's an awesome guy. But this is the reality, that we are a family and we can get through what we're going through together, right? We have to get through it together. How? Again, I keep putting off this question. How? Well, we need to act like a family, right? And better yet, we need to act like a family should act, because maybe you don't have a perfect example of what a good family does, but from Scripture we can understand like how the church and how we as believers should relate to one another and how we should act toward one another, right? Here's a couple examples. This is from Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, here's what I was saying earlier, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, right? That's Philippians 2, and it goes on to say that's the mind of Christ. That's what Jesus did. So count others as more significant than yourself. Maybe you've heard of some of the one another's of Scripture, right? Where the Bible tells us what to do with one another or to one another. Here's some of them. Love one another. Serve one another. Forgive one another, teach and admonish one another, encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, do not slander one another, live in harmony with one another. Here's the last one that I want to focus on. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. That comes from Galatians 6:2. And that really strikes me when I think about getting through sorrow and grief and sadness and tough times. We have to bear one another's burdens. What is a burden? What he's talking about? What is he talking about here? A burden is a weight, right? A burden is a weight. It's something that's weighing us down. It's heavy. And earlier, what did we say that grief and sorrow does to us? Right? It weighs us down. Right, grief and sorrow is something that weighs us down, and a burden is a weight. Therefore, right, when Paul says to bear one another's burdens, when God calls us to bear one another's burdens, he's saying to bear each other's sorrow, to bear each other's grief, to carry each other's grief, because we have to get through this together, right? We have to carry each other's grief, and we know this to be true, right? Like when somebody is physically hurt, like when somebody has an injury, what good does it do to walk up and say, "You're all right, get up. What are you doing? Like, get up," right? That doesn't do any good, right? That doesn't help us at all. Like when somebody gets injured playing a sport, right? The trainers and the doctors, they come out and they assess the situation, and then if it's not bad, you know, they'll help them get up off the ground. Or if it's a little worse, they'll help them, they'll pick them up and maybe put an arm around their shoulder and take some of the weight off and help them walk with them off the field. You see where I'm going with this? Or if it's really, really bad, like when I got hurt in football, they had to bring out the stretcher and like they had to really assess it, and they had to be very careful not to make matters worse. And so then they put you on the stretcher and then they're careful, and then they wheel you off in order to help you get better. Right? Do you get the analogy yet? Like we have to help one another. We have to, depending on what each other is going through, we have to maybe pick up some weight. We have to walk with each other going through difficult times. And then sometimes when it's really, really bad, right, we need to go out there and be like, we need some more help. Like, come on, people, we need more help because they are really going through a difficult time. We have to bear one another's burdens, right? We have to carry each other's weight. Different people are going through different things that cause or need more attention or more help, right? And we have to walk through it with some, like some people just need somebody to cry with, right? And that's biblical, right? The Bible says to weep with those who weep, Some people need more help, more attention. Some people, it's going to take more time to get through what they're going through, a loss that they've experienced, or whatever it is, right? Some people will want to talk it out immediately and be good with it and then move on, but some people, it'll take more time, right? We have to bear one another's burdens. We have to have family, right? A family in our lives to bear each other's burdens, right? We have to have people in our lives. We have to have people in our lives to get real with, to talk about what's going on. We have to have people that are close to us that we can share these griefs and sorrows with so that they can carry some of the weight. And that's the beauty of the Christian life, is that we have brothers and sisters to walk through it with and carry the burdens with, because we know that stuff is going to happen, but we can get through it together, right? You can get real with one another. And there's another reason I love Galatians 6:2, that verse that says, bear one another's burdens. It's because it's a perfect picture of what Jesus has done. Right? It's a perfect picture of what Jesus, it's really the ultimate picture of what Jesus has done. You know what I'm like when you truly grasp what Jesus did for sinners like you and like me, right? Like that is the perfect picture. There was a prophecy spoken a long time ago, and it's recorded in Isaiah 53. Right, and it goes like this. I'm going to read it for you. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, or knowing grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. You've probably heard this, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement, or the punishment, that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. I'm guessing you know who that prophecy was about. Jesus. And the reality is, this prophecy came true. The prophecy came true because we have sorrow, right, in this life. Jesus was a man of sorrows, right? And we have grief in this life. Jesus knew grief. He was well acquainted with grief. Jesus has been through what we are going through and whatever we could ever go through. Jesus has experienced it and been through it. And not only that, Jesus took it further, right? Not only did he know about grief and sorrow, he bore our grief. Like, he carried it. He carried our sorrows. And even more than that, he was pierced for our transgressions, right? He was pierced for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was crushed for our sin. And upon him was the punishment, right, that brings us peace. Right now, I know those are big words, and like theological and biblical and stuff. And those are good. But here's the bottom line, that Jesus died to forgive and to take away sin. Like, he took on our punishment, the punishment that we deserve, because we are all sinners, right? We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin, right? We were born sinful, right? So Jesus took on all of that grief. He carried it. He took on all of that grief, all of that punishment, right? So that we could have peace, that we could be healed, that we could get through what we are going through. And in order for us to experience that peace, that healing that we're talking about here, we have to grieve. We have to grieve over our own sin, right? In 2 Corinthians 7, it says, godly grief leads to repentance, right? You cannot be saved unless you need a savior. You know what I'm saying? You can't be saved unless you need a savior, right? You can't be healed unless you know that you're sick. You can't be resuscitated unless you know you're dead. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is that you were born dead. Spiritually, I mean. Spiritually, you were born dead. And I know that's kind of weird, but that's the truth, right? That's what Ephesians 2 teaches us, that we were born dead. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. And here's what the Bible says: but God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Jesus died for sinners, like you, like me. Jesus died for sinners. He took on sin in your place. If you place your faith in him, this is a reality for you. Right? And when you understand, like, that Jesus took on your sin, your personal sin, that leads you to repentance, because it hurts. It hurts for us to understand that somebody did something on our behalf that we didn't deserve. That's called grace, right? And when we understand what Jesus went through in order for us to have peace, in order for us to know God, it kind of hurts. Right? And that's that godly grief that leads us to repentance, right? Because by grace we have been saved. We should be broken over our own sin because we are sinners. We should turn away from it because it was our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. But here's the thing that's really going to blow your mind. Jesus went willingly. Like, he wasn't forced to do it. He laid down his own life. He did it willingly. He went willingly to the cross for us, right? It was that changes things when you know that he wasn't forced to do it. He went willingly. He went on purpose, because Jesus, right, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past, they had this plan to save sinners, right? To glorify, for God to glorify himself by saving sinners. That was the plan, and Jesus did it willingly so that we might have eternal life, to reconcile people back to himself. That is good news. And when we believe that, when we put our faith in Jesus alone for our salvation, that is when we trust that he will save us, that he can save us, and that he will save us, then we have peace. Then we know that what we're going through has a purpose. Then we can walk alongside one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and bear one another's burdens, because we know that Jesus ultimately bore all of our burdens, all of our shame, all of our sorrows. He took it on himself so that we could live in victory and fight from victory, not trying to win, because Jesus already won. He already overcame sin. And we as followers of Jesus, then we can grieve, we can have sorrow, we can have sadness, we can grieve not as those who have no hope. Right? We can grieve, we can go through difficult times, we can get through what we're going through together because of what Jesus has done. We can grieve with hope. And we do have hope. We have hope in Jesus. Jesus carried our sins, burdens, sorrows, and we can rejoice in knowing that Jesus has taken our sin. And whatever it is you're going through or going to go through at some point in your life, we can get through it together, right? We can rest and trust in the promises of God, knowing that ultimately Jesus carries all of our sorrows. Okay, the good news, as if it could get any better, if you believe in Jesus, we believe in a time where there will be no more sorrows, no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering in the new heavens and new earth talked about in Revelation 21. That day is coming where we won't experience the grief and the pain and the sorrow that we experience now on this life. If you believe in Jesus, then we believe in the reality that all those things are going to be gone, and we will live in perfection with him. I look forward to that day personally.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.